The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful but blustery northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, that is, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We can be heard at our flagship network. That's the Global Star Radio Network. We also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's BTR. You can watch us live and by archive on our YouTube channel, which is our official YouTube channel. Folks, just go to HagmanandHagman.com. There you're going to find just a wonderful navigation tool on the right-hand side. On the top right, it'll take you to any place you want to go in terms of our show, our websites, and then scroll down for the archived content. And while I'm talking about websites, folks, we do have three websites. We have HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com. That's our show. That's our show website. And then we've got HagmanReport.com. There you can find news, information, analysis, and even educational or informative videos and updates, news updates in the form of videos. And also, on my little corner of the internet is HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. Now, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and, of course, most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight, and thank you so much for all of the emails you've sent all throughout the weekend, all of the postal mail that we've gotten, we've read. It's just it's incredible. Thank you so very much. And we do read every piece of mail, whether it's hard copy or email. We do make sure we read it. Now, we do dig deep into the topics that the captured mass media refuse to do. We look at the conspiratorial side of, the reality side, the news behind the headlines. That's what we do. We don't adhere to the coincidence theory of geopolitical history and events, which brings me to, before even I bring Joe on here, which brings me to a topic that I want to address. Even before we get into the broadcast tonight, I do want to mention that tonight's broadcast, portions of it, brought to you by Heaven's Harvest. That's right, Heaven's Harvest. Folks, go to HagmanSeeds.com. That's HagmanSeeds.com. You want to seal up your future. You want to make sure that you've got food for the future. Think about seeds, all right? Think about seeds not necessarily for planting this season, but for storing and planting later. They have seeds the way God intended, non-GMO, carefully developed, to be hardy, productive, and produce more seeds, not like the GMO or many modern, even hybrid seeds. This is a one-time kit for a lifetime of food. That's Heaven's Harvest and HagmanSeeds.com. Just go to Hagman and Hagman for the link directly to their website. But before even I bring Joe on, I just want to update you on a couple of issues. We do have a great show for you lined up for tonight. Russ Dizdar will be joining us momentarily. A couple of things. Now, of course, on Friday night, Saturday morning during the night, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia passed away at a ranch in Cibolo, Texas. This is about 3.5 hours south of El Paso. Pretty remote location. Now, I did actually two videos that are up on our YouTube channel. One is a 4-minute College of Knowledge, 4-minute module, if you will, that addresses, well, gives you a little bit of background about the Supreme Court, the history there, and also the nomination process, how, you know, what the nomination process goes. It's only, like I said, under 4 minutes, or about under 5 minutes, that is, around 5 minutes in length. And I also did another video relating to the death of Mr. Scalia. And before I even address that, I just want to address one minor imperfection on the video. I did mispronounce his first name. And boy, did I hear about that. So for every individual out there who has a problem with my mispronunciation of his first name, it was not done intentional. I did actually do that video at about 3:30 this morning after being pretty much awake for the entire weekend following the information about this, about his death. So if you can do a better job, go for it. If you want to leave me a message about this, the pronunciation of his first name, I'm not going to post your comment or allow it to be posted, just as an FYI. And speaking about that too, if you do use vulgarity in your postings, we're not going to post it. So, save your typing or go somewhere else. But, the video itself addresses some issues. I really think that we need to, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whether you believe or it is believed or there's a consensus that he died of natural causes or from a heart ailment, regardless, whatever you believe, it doesn't matter. You see, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what I believe, it doesn't matter what Joe Blow believes, it doesn't matter, because here's what matters.
The truth doesn't matter.
Well, no, the truth does matter.
Not to them, right?
Yeah. But here's the issue. You're right. To them, the truth doesn't matter. You see, I've been present. I've responded to, and this is back 30 years ago, responded to, or within, during my career, I've responded to scenes, unidentified death scenes, and there is a protocol one follows. If someone passes away and the death is unattended, there is a protocol that must be followed. I don't care if it's Texas or Idaho, Florida or Pennsylvania. You follow a specific protocol. Deviation from that protocol cultivates conspiracy theories, and perhaps that's the wrong way of saying it. Deviation from that protocol certainly raises legitimate questions that many will term conspiracy theories. So, I say that to say this. The protocol was not followed as far as the death of this Supreme Court justice.
Right. There were many oddities surrounding this.
Right.
Specifically, the breaking of standard operating procedure.
That's correct. And I do address this in that video. It's about 18 minutes long. It does go into the information. I learned of this. It's interesting because I learned of his death by a phone call that was pretty much concurrent with the local news. And I say local, I'm talking about Texas news breaking the story, which was right around about 4 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. Now, having said that, nothing hit the wires, and I was going to post something about it. And I decided to sit back and wait just to see how things were playing out. And it's interesting because the initial report that I received here at my office was the fact that there was a pillow covering the face, and I'm saying face deliberately as opposed to head, of this Supreme Court Justice, Mr. Scalia. He was found by John Poindexter and a friend of Mr. Scalia's in his bed, in a position of repose, supine, face up, that is, on the top of the bed, with a pillow over his head, meaning over his face, not above his head.
Right.
Not between the head and the headboard.
It wouldn't be worth a mention.
Right. And I want to drive this point home in case I didn't do that in the video, to mention that that's a little bit weird. All right. No matter how you look at it, as a first responder walking into a a death scene like that, presumably untouched or even touched, at that point the tape would be going up or should have gone up, and people should have responded to that location. When I say people, I'm talking about law enforcement, to that location, absolutely sealed that location.
Yeah, police, crime scene investigation units.
That's right. And especially given the fact that we're talking about a Supreme Court justice, because all I heard this weekend was Pelican Brief, Pelican Brief, Pelican Brief, Pelican Brief. I get it, folks. I get it. Okay. Yeah. Well, Joe, it's glad. Thanks for... I should have brought you on before, but sorry
no,
about that.
No, that's all right.
But
it was a very strange weekend with this story.
Yes, yes.
And a lot out of place, just on the front left side of Drudge. You know, Scalia dead with pillow overhead. It wasn't a heart attack. Declined security detail while at ranch, which is was a hotel ranch they were staying at.
No, I can see that.
Autopsy not necessary.
No, I can't see that.
Right. I mean, and like I said, these are just some of the headlines that are on the left hand side of Drudge, and. You know, it says, but the official's abating under autopsy not necessary.
There would be no debate. I'm sorry. There should have been no debate.
So it wasn't a heart attack. If it wasn't a heart attack, and there was a pillow over...
They can't even tell that, Joe.
Right.
They cannot rule a heart attack
until
out.
They do have an autopsy.
Right.
But with the pillow over the face...
Well, okay, now think about this, all right, because...
Unless...
If he was...
His hands on the pillow, I mean...
No, his hands... Now, the information I... There was two sources, and I just want to clear this up, and I don't want to keep Russ waiting, but I do think this is important. There were two sources that I was in contact with. One was a reporter from the news station. I'm not going to disclose which one. He asked me not to, so I'm fine, who was reporting on this story locally. And the second source I received was from Washington, who got this information pretty quickly, I might add, and was on the phone to me, telling me what he knew. So there's two different sources. But his arms were on his chest. He was laid out. Now, I was unable to get specifics about the clothing he was wearing, although he was fully clothed.
They said his bedclothes? Bedclothes were unwrinkled.
All right, that's fine. However, well, all right. I do have some other information. I'm just not sure what to do with it. I haven't been able to confirm this. I'll just tell you the other information was there was no evidence of like clothes, the change of clothes being done. So I don't know whether he put them away or what the deal was at the time. I wasn't there. And that's the thing. No one was there. No one in the media was there to say what happened. To speculate, we can speculate all day long. Doesn't mean we're right. But here's the point I want to make. All right. You've got a very important person, a VIP, truthfully. And also you've got a man who is really the deciding factor in cases, significant cases before the Supreme Court right now. All right. Now, if you go to SCOTUSblog.com, that's SCOTUSblog.com, there are three very talented writers there. It tells you all about, pretty much what happens to the cases that are pending before the court. Generally speaking, if there is a tie, for example, during lack of a majority, if there's a tie, then chances are the cases will be re-argued, but included in the cases, you're looking at Second Amendment rights. You're looking at abortion rights. You're looking at abortion rights, which that saying that just drives me batty. But you get the idea. There are some important cases there. Now, the other aspect of this is the recess appointment. Now, I know on Fox News, I had three TVs going in my office at the same time. Boy, trying to, you know, I had the closed caption on, trying to watch everything at the same time. And I was on the internet watching the Twitter feed. But it's interesting because there's a divide about the, there's differences of opinion with respect to the a recess appointment.
Yeah.
For example, can
a lame
Obama
duck president?
Yes. Well, no, not lame duck. But can Obama, Joe, can Obama appoint, or nominate, not appoint, but nominate someone appoint it would be during a recess.
I heard arguments that the Democrats stopped similar proceedings under Bush when it was his last term in office. Am I correct in that?
No, well, you had a couple of situations. Just go ahead and then go over some... I screwed up here. Go over some facts here, and I'm going to grab my notes here, which are in my office.
All right.
Okay, so just hang on with Russ just for a moment. Just keep him comfortable, and let me get my notes. And I would just, because there was one thing I wanted to mention.
Well, all right. I'm going to bring Russ on while you get your notes, and then when you come back, we will see what you have written down there. But we're going to bring on Russ right now, folks. Right before our radio show on Global Star Radio Network is Russ Dizdar's show. This is his website, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Ragged Edge Radio is the Ragged Edge Radio is the name of his radio show. He's also an author and a speaker, as well as a deliverance minister and so much more. His book, The Black Awakening, Rise of the Satanic Super Soldier, The Coming Chaos, is a great read, fantastic read. And not only have we had the pleasure of meeting Russ several times and interviewing him on our show several times, we've done a number of conferences with Russ. And he is the real deal. You talk about spiritual warfare, you talk about the battle for the soul between Satan and Jesus that is taking place on our earth. Russ is an expert in this area, not only in the theological sense of biblical prophecy, scripture, and interpretation, but in real life dealing with the demonic aspect of the spiritual warfare battle, the SRA victims, satanic ritual abuse, and working with police officers in many of these cases. Now, before we bring Russ on, my dad's back with his notes.
Yeah, I just want to say this. I'm not going to take the time away from Russ. What I will do, ladies and gentlemen, is I will do one more video to go over the recess appointment, or the recess appointments, the history there, history of that, the fact that go over the historical Supreme Court vacancies and presidential election years, and also the cases that are pending before the court that will lead to re-argument, perhaps not reaffirmation. So the bottom line is
the camera's stuck on me because Eric's mouse.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I've got some additional power. And
you want to sit over here?
No, that's fine. I've got some additional power. How do you like this? Live television. You can't beat it. Yeah, he knows where the power is. Anyway, the I'll do a video on this rather than take up Russ's time, because we got a lot of information and a lot of stuff to get into. And in fact, Russ can even address this and his thoughts about how this will affect the trajectory of the United States and what this is and all that. So our good friend Russ is there.
Yeah, fresh off his own radio show. Russ, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Great to be with you tonight. Big happenings everywhere, and thank you for being out there doing what you do. Glad to be with you tonight.
Tell you, man, we caught your show. As usual, we turn on your show before our show.
Yeah.
And folks, Russ Dizdar on the Global Star Radio Network, and also his website, ShatterTheDarkness.net, author of The Black Awakening, and just I just love hearing your show right before ours. It really gets us it really gets us pumped up. But what do you see happening, Russ? What's going on here? I mean, so many things going on between the war in the Middle East and domestic problems and the economy taking a dive and everyone being all kinds of moody.
Well, it's part of the signs of the times. I mean, we there's a spiritual perspective by which our eyes are lit up to see, and we see there's confusion, there's back and forth, there's the battle. And so right now, I mean, look at the political field right now and all the battle that's going on, and how absolutely different. I mean, we're looking at massive extremes right now. And then all of a sudden this occurs in the middle of it all. And then it comes with some conspiracy behind it. And you know where I'm at on the subject concerning, you know, the present leadership that we see that has lent itself not towards socialism, but globalism, Luciferic globalism, I believe. That's my perspective, because it opens the door in that direction. There's been more done for that. So the policies, as you mentioned, Doug, those are all, again, heavy-duty things that were up in the air about. This is a kind of back and forth and back and forth. And I just mentioned on the Ragged Edge earlier, you know, we got 30 nations, two superpowers. They can't stop ISIS. You've got in the United States, the drug world and what's going on there, and the hundreds of deaths. I was literally in your backyard over the weekend. And I was listening to one of the individuals talk about how many hundreds of kids have died of the heroin drug stuff. So looking at all of it, it is part of the it is the signs that there is a spiritual, chaotic, violent backdrop. And so we're seeing the physical effects, and everybody understands this. It seems like nobody can stop it and that it's out of control. That's what I see.
All right. Well, I've got to ask you something, and if I can kind of go back in time, because both Joe and I have been researching, and this keeps bumping. We keep bumping into this issue, this matter, this topic all of the time, and that is this. And we have a lot of new listeners tonight. In fact, many from Western Europe as well as Central America and the Pacific Northwest, actually. So, having said that, we keep running into the Nazi ideology that is kind of the forerunner to what we're seeing today, especially here in the United States as well as in Europe. Can you address that? I mean, how pervasive is the... And I know you've done this before, Russ, and I apologize for the redundancy, but I think it's important because I'm just seeing more and more of this Nazi-esque behavior. Both Joe and I are. We remarked today about this underlayment of Nazi theology, or the... You know where I'm going with this.
Sure. No, I do. I know exactly where you're going. I you know, because sometimes I'll look at, we look at Scripture, Genesis chapter 3, the fallen cherub enters in and engages humanity. Well, that's the same presence thousands of years later. You know, Matthew chapter 4 engages Jesus directly. Same presence that we're dealing with. So outside of seeing that, then the world is going to be kind of in a tizzy and sing its songs and cry about things and not understand why. And then you're correct, Doug. I mean, this whole Nazi-esque, this is big, because I believe the presence that was behind the fall of the human race, the presence that engaged Jesus there in Matthew 4, the very presence he came to bring destruction to, that's leading the way on a global scale, is the presence that guided, charged, demonically charged ideology of the Nazis. And it, look what it did. That broad deception led to a massive, massive destruction. Now, why is it still around 70 years later? Look at all the people out right now writing books, doing the stuff. Hitler never died at the bunker, which I don't believe he did die. We believed that for years, that he did not die at the bunker, that he had numerous plans to escape. And here's the issue. The reason why the Nazi issue comes right back is because the presence that developed it is the same presence developing the global picture. If you say the regional Nazis back in the 40s, now we're saying the global Nazi issue. Because after the war, Doug and Joe, the Nazis, the rat lines, you know, went through the Catholic system worldwide. It went, they went all over the world. The rat lines, I mean, they went everywhere. And of course, you know, even when you study on the rat lines, you can't even find out where, you know, a lot of them got away. I mean, they just got away all over the place. We were down two and a half weeks ago. We have been digging and digging and digging, as you know we do, and we engaged, the 87-year-old Nazi, I believe, a little Nazi nest of individuals where the people you're talking about, they've been operative. Listen, unless a Nazi repents and gets out and comes to Christ, guess what? I think they're, you know, the 80-year-old ones, the old ones, they're still doing it. And so I think that you're seeing that. I mean, here's, I'll just bring it in, the whole satanic ritual abuse issue. Now, if we just use the term satanic ritual abuse and DID, MPD, and all that, we're using the public, you know, terminology, it doesn't scratch the surface of what this is. Now, which should be considered the extending of the master race issue, the Himmler Hitler, the spiritually driven idea of hybrid super soldiers, very powerful super, to do what? Well, to win the world and then to enforce a 1,000-year Reich, and that's what that was all about. That was a spiritually driven ideology in which they began to have Lebensborn, all these areas where they were doing spiritual selected birth. That's what modern satanic ritual abuse is. That it's the extenuation. If you meet any of the first generations of this project, they're between the ages of 55 and 68, 69, maybe even 70 now. And they all have German-speaking parts. They all have German-speaking splitters, programmers, people of the covens. This goes back to them. And Doug, Joe, there's, in our estimation of first generation that would have began in the 50s, all over the world, there's what we believe now, 40 million of them on a worldwide scale. And then they had kids. And then their kids had kids. And then their kids had kids. We're now engaging fourth generation chosen ones. So the estimation, in our view, because they're not just in every city, in every location, in your city, in your township, everyone in the United States, they're in Canada, Australia, New Zealand. You know, we've said this before. It's a global phenomenon. And we can sit back and say, how did this happen? Why is this, why? Well, we track backwards for years and years and years and years and years. We're still doing that to this day. We did it all this last month. We were in your backyard, and we engaged up in your backyard area. And this guy was 87 years old. And we're looking for a kid in a cage, a fourth generation that they're raising up. We're dealing with others up there. And so the Nazi spiritually given spiritual charge ideology is all about a chaos and a new order. It's all about the rise of a dark satanic system. And it hasn't gone away because the presence behind it hasn't gone away. Any more than when, you know, the fallen cherubim, Genesis 3, he's the same exact being in Matthew 4. He's the exact same being in First, you know, Peter chapter 5 that we have to deal with. He's the exact same being we read in the book of Revelation. The spiritual side, which is solid and real, we need to quit thinking that it's like Casper the Ghost, it's unreal, that it's clouds. We're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of ancient beings that are highly organized by design, doing what they're doing in the targeting of the political, the economic, the military, and the building of a global, this is Revelation 12, the declaration that God gave and showed and exposed, a global order. And we see the signs. We all talk about the signs, but as we keep stepping back, all of this leads down to the roof of Hell's Kitchen, where it all originates.
Mm. Okay, all right. Now, I just got to ask this without giving away anything on air or anything at all. Is that the continuation of the issue that I'm familiar with, or is this something new?
No, it's it's the continuation, and it's just gotten, we found new locations, new individuals. It's broader. It's, we're finding more. And matter of fact, when we were up there for about 8 hours, almost 9 hours the other day, we were coming back on that massive storm on I-90. We had to stop and pull off, and I couldn't see 3 feet in front of us at times. Man. But, we were there for all day, and again, all about victims from the, we have a victim that's a second generation. We got it's very extensive, and I know when we get together we'll talk about it, but yeah, exactly in your backyard. And we met some other individuals that knew some of the players, let me just say again, the players that I believe are involved in some of the most horrendous acts of ritual abuse, human trafficking, and a part of this whole thing. It's the underground, but this underground, and as we try, whether we go to Lisbon, Ohio, when we went to Vadelsburg, the castle there, and I told you this before, when we were in, they kind of put you in a room to watch a film on Himmler, and they do say that he was wrong and evil and so forth. That's one thing I'll give them. But the thing they don't reveal is that the castle is still being used, and that we engage chosen ones there. Colonel Michael Aquino did rituals there, and that others are doing it there. It's very dark still there. And they were going to rule the world from that spot at one day. That's where they were going to rule the entire world, 1,000-year rights, from that spot. And it's still an active, some believe, one of the most powerful portholes to hell right there in Vadelsburg.
Amazing. Well, speaking of portals to hell, are we witnessing now with CERN and other, well, regardless, I mean, are we witnessing the attempts to recreate or the actual recreation of portals or creation of portals? Is that something that, because we've had people on talking about CERN and you know, what their real agenda is, and of course, you know, we know the history behind the Third Reich and the Nazis and their attempts to open up portals. But are we seeing that today? I mean, is that what's going on?
Sure, because it brings in a few factors. Once you study this place, it's kind of bizarre, and I don't believe that it was created for what they're talking, you know, what they're talking about. That's a public thing because millions of dollars, 6,000 scientists, and so forth. I don't believe that the public discussions is the only thing that it was created for. You know, they have the deity of destruction there. And so what I did in series on this years ago too, I dealt with the fact of the spiritual side of this. The scientists that I quoted straight from CERN itself that said he's afraid that we're going to open up, portholes or what he called black holes and never be able to shut them and bring a devastating destruction to the human race. Now, I know we're not going to have a devastation of the human race because biblical prophecy tells us how it will come out, but we do have something that's been developed that has the clear capacity to open up other dimensions. And I'm just giving you my opinion now. I believe spiritually they were guided. I believe they were guided in the development of the technologies. This was proclaimed in 1937. Alice Bailey, externalization of the hierarchy, the demonic entity that engaged her, fused in her, and dictated the writings, literally demonic writings. They foretold their agenda to combine their spiritual evolution with the scientists and the technicians to develop the science, the tech that can open the door and bring down the veil, so that side and this side, you know, be, you know, wide open to each other. So you've got what I believe, and I think anybody that knows Alice Bailey, and especially the book The Externalization of the Hierarchy, that is a word for word dictated, demonically, you know, empowered writing, Didache Daemonoia. And it's really a revelation of their agenda. So I do believe that technology and dark side spirituality has been guiding, just like guiding political, and here's what we have to really look at, the weapons development, planetary defense weapon systems. But this here, CERN could be used for a couple of things. One, it's very clear that I think it could be a tool to open the abyss, because it's clear in Revelation 9 that side opens it. They get the keys, they get the authority, they get the ability. They get the ability to open it, they want to open it. Second, it can also be a tool that they might want to use in when it comes to Armageddon, because the culmination of all of this is Revelation 19:19, when the super political military, the new this whole order is going to gather together, and the whole issue is raising their weapons. And I don't believe they're going to just use current military stuff, even particle beams and late chemical lasers and things like that. I think it's going to go beyond that. They're going to have super tech, spiritually guided super technologies, because they're talking about trying to stop the descent of Christ. That's Revelation. I mean, we can all Christians really know Revelation 19 in reference to the visible return of Christ, but they've really, really missed verse 19, in which the Antichrist, the beast, the Theron, the hybrid, in my view, he gets on the field with his armies from around the world. This goes to Revelation 16, where they do this releasing of demons on a planetary level to draw the kings of the earth. So Armageddon is a massive spiritual event, and the tools and weaponries and whatever, everything they're going to have is going to be aimed. They've gathered for one reason, Doug and Joe. They've gathered to make war, to unleash war, to bring destruction. They're going to try to kill. They're going to try to destroy. They're going to try to blow out of the skies Christ as he's visibly descending. Now again, we read the story, and the Word of God is infallible, and no prophecy's ever been inhibited or altered by the dark side, but they're going to try. And so what you see now is a development towards some of those. Like, say, look at the surveillance technologies. Look at a lot of the technologies that are developing have to be assimilated, acquired by an order that is going to have the ability to control the world.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely correct. I couldn't agree more. They have the complete the New World Order in this dream of a utopian society through a false peace and security system. They're going to need to do this through a complete control system, through a the dreamed about totalitarian model of government. The George Orwell 1984, every single person is under control, every move of every person is under control. And they have been subtly, now overtly, implementing, and have done so through law, through the technology, and all but actually using the population of the world to be a part of it. All of the infrastructure is there. They just need the people to agree and go along with that. And for those reasons, they need a proper event, or things need to happen in a certain way for them to get the compliance of the people. As we see, the church has no problem conforming to the world as it is now, and they've gotten them on the moral issues. It's not going to be hard for them to get them on the issue of taking the mark of the beast, if they can get them to accept gay marriage and other immoralities that are, or abominations we see in the scriptures.
Agreed. Well, I look at, and you mentioned the gay marriage issue, and again, we've only touched the surface now, because necrophilia is coming next, pedophilia is coming next, the sexual addictions and the twisting, the decadence, because they're claiming the same rights, they're claiming the same emotional, need, even necrophiliacs are saying that they have a sacred right, and so they're going to press the law issue also. Now, when you look in Revelation towards we're talking the fifth year in, we're talking really into the very last of the last few years, when God engages the world to repent, and here's what they won't repent of: their worship of demons, the pharmakia, the drug world, and the sexual decadence that's pretty much inseparable from the demonic activity. You're seeing, and see, if we see that in the near future, on a global scale, well, then we step back to now and we say, look at sleep paralysis, the ultimate goal of the thousands upon hundreds of thousand cases worldwide. The demons not only want to visit people in a room, paralyze them, hold them down, but they're all confessing what we've known for years, that it's a sexual activity, sex magic. In the satanic ritual abuse scenario worldwide, all four generations, it's birthed in demon sexual activity. There is sex magic in all of that. Well, then we back up a little bit further. Second Thessalonians 2. We read about the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, Anthropos Anomos. We read about the apocalypse of him coming. We read that Satan is already at work in the process of that through counterfeit, or the Greek word pseudo, signs, wonders, and miracles. This means a unbelievable amount of supernaturalism from the dark side. Then it says this, and in every kind of evil, every kind of wickedness. That word is related to sexual decadence. So in Satan's plot to deceive the world, to grab billions, includes a drawing them down into the sexual decadence. So, because, and here's what any left-hand pather will know this. Any underground Satanist, real Luciferian Satanist will know this. Sexual decadence helps dirty the human construct and prepare it for demonic acquisition.
That was a mouthful, but okay. So immorality in the violation of God's biblical laws,
sexual immorality specifically.
Right.
Right.
It opens the doors and the pathways personally,
sure,
to the demonic.
Sure, because you think in terms of sexual addictions right now, and I know we're seeing what the world's not hearing, though, is there's tens of thousands of gays that have left that lifestyle and they've gotten free, they've broken free, because it's not a natural order. You know, the biological, the physiological is very clear, it's abnormal in every way, let alone procreation. But on the heels of this, and we've been trying to say this for years too now, is across the board globally is the necrophilia is here. There's a book called The Necromantic Ritual Book. Don't recommend anybody to get it, but it's written by a person that has done, you know, that here's their declarations, that it's sacred, that it's love, that it's enjoyment, that it's arousal, that it's, and they're talking about having sex with the dead. Now, this goes all the way back to Sumer. This goes back to the Old Testament. This is what they were dealing with. All those nations that God had to pull Israel away, they got sucked in again and again and again to nations. Did they have pharmakon? Sure. Did they have the kind of drugs that opened the door to the spirits? Yes. Did they get involved in sex magic with the K, the real stuff? Yes. Aleister Crowley, the entire underworld. Anyone that's out sinning sexually, it opens a door. I mean, it really does open a door ultimately down the road. I'm saying that it brings a guilty conscience. It brings a lot of things in. It brings dysfunction. It brings, you know, you reap what you sow. It brings a lot of things to it, especially those who get addicted, because it involves the Hebrew word yada, that Cain knew his wife, or I'm sorry, that Adam knew his wife. He knew her. We're talking about the most intimate way of knowing. And there is this incredible God's gift, sexuality, for procreation and for pleasure. That's Song of Solomon. I mean, God created for a good thing, an enjoyment and pleasure and procreation, the power to bring about a living, another life. And I think there is something spiritual about it ultimately, because God created it. But now, in the dark side's use of it, I do believe that all sin, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 down, it darkens understanding. It brings thinking that is futile. And so when anyone lives deeper and darker into sin itself, their conscience, their perceptions, their abilities to see, their abilities to perceive is darkened. And then that does at some point open door. If you look at the satanic ritual calendar on a yearly basis, look how many sex rituals. They know that sexual decadence helps open the door, and they use sex rituals to receive and transfer demons into others.
All right. It's kind of an anecdotal issue. You mentioned the Hebrew word yada in reference to sexual activity or intimacy. It's interesting because those people who have watched the sitcom Seinfeld, for example, there was actually an entire episode dedicated to yada, meaning well, it was used in the context of yada, 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 to gloss over the underlayment there was a sexual, or sexual tryst or sexual activity. And it's interesting to see, and the reason I mention this is because this is back in the 1990s now, during the Seinfeld heyday, when this episode aired, and of course being aired on repeats, but people are unaware, 99% of the people out there appear to be unaware of that usage of the word and how this is gaining, or things like this is gaining in popularity, cultural popularity in the current climate that in which we live. So it's just amazing when you start connecting the dots, and I don't think it was by accident that this was used in that context, and I think it was just to I think there were multiple agendas with respect to that. I just thought I'd throw that out there for people who aren't aware of that. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with that whole situation. My goodness. And you know, that also, and we keep bumping into Babylon Working with Parsons and Marjorie Cameron, I believe it was, and how that branched off into, if I can't say Scientology, or kind of glanced off of, incorporated Scientology, ultimately, with that. So, you know, all of this, and I'm looking at this now, you know, from a larger cruising altitude here. So all of this is kind of interrelated. But man, the sexual deviance and decadence that you're talking about, certainly a huge issue. And one thing too, Russ, let me ask you. I heard it said, Joe, and you can jump in here too, because I heard it said, and in fact, I think you might have even had, we might have talked about this either on air, off air, or at some point, perhaps or even during a conference. Illegitimate sexual activity with a person draws in demons both ways, I guess, with the actors. And they, in turn, take those demons when they have sex with others, including inside of marriage, and pass demons back and forth. Is that a correct statement or assessment?
Well, it sure is correct, and this is why I will go back to John the Baptist. Notice something. He was filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. There is a clear spiritual connection. I mean, you mentioned Jack Parsons. We can go to Aleister Crowley. We can go back again to the Nazis, the Himmler, Hitler, the dream to create hybrids, or they call the master race. They said the God-men. So they meant the hybrids, the God-man. How are they going to do this? Backbreeding, a sexual selection that involved the ritual. In the beginning, they were just like, go to cemeteries, go to places that are, you know, where there can be possibility that you can pick up spiritual energy. I mean, people in Tantra, people in certain areas, they talk about it as of energy that's added to the sexual act. Well, the energy is inseparable from the entity. The entities emanate energy. They empower. That's where non-human enhancements in remote viewing and with the Nazis and with in weaponizing these demonic, you know, what they want. Their energy emanates from them, and that's their presence. And so that occurs in the sexual act, in sex magic, in Tantra, in many of the New Age, you know, versions of it, but all of the occult, you know, versions, going back.
Yeah.
You know, look at the Nephilim. How were they created? The B'nai Elohim came down. They engaged. They took the daughters of men. You can't create a first-generation Nephilim without the sexual act. So that sexual act did breed Nephilim. And then there were, down the road, second-generation Nephilim and others. I mean, they did take other women, and we can go to Numbers 13. So there's a clear picture from before, the flood, Genesis 6, that the dark side understands to, you know, to acquire, to take, and engage humanity sexually. One, to reproduce an altered, transmuted being that they could use in their fight against God. But it constantly, I mean, in the Old Testament Israel, I mean, constantly plague them to be drawn off, and that's the picture, only maybe 10,000 times over, of the end of the age. Prophecy is the intel that God gives. And the three primary things that are going to grab billions of people: sexual decadence that they just simply can't get out of, because it might be that they've acquired demonic presence and that they're really addicted, they're really stuck, they're really they're just absolutely frozen in that outside of the deliverance of Jesus. Now, that direct demon worship, pharmakia, those things are all centered together and warned about in prior prophecies, let alone this is what we see in the world. Three top money-making things in the world, as you and I probably know, is human trafficking is one of the most largest organized criminal activities in the world. The selling of arms is also massively a worldwide phenomena. But then the pharmakia, the drug lords. It is a multi-billion dollar industry. And the drug pimps, and I say it that way because they need to know who they are, and they need to know that they are doing such astounding destruction for the sake of the monies and the greed and whatever else. But they don't. I don't even know if all of them understand. They are spiritually driven to based on the prophecy again of 2 Thessalonians 2. That prophecy includes Satan. When it says he's at work, it's the word energes, meaning he's supernaturally operative to help blind and bring in and addict the world, not just to the supernatural counterfeit, but also to the immoral decadence that keeps their hearts and minds blinded and futile, and I think that's part of 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age blinds the minds. That's part of his work.
Man, when you look at things this way, and folks, our guest is Russ Dizdar from Shatter the Darkness. When you look at things this way, you can see where all of the cogs in this pretty nefarious machine are kind of working together, but actually speeding up and coming really rapidly together to where we're at now, and will proceed to move faster and greater, I think, just based on what you said. You mentioned Nephilim. Folks, I want to direct you to shatterthedarkness.net, and then one of the best times Joe and I had was with Russ Dizdar, Gary Stearman, Chief Riverwind, L.A. Marzulli. That was at the third annual Nephilim Mounds Conference. It's now on DVD pre-order or order. Actually, orders are now shipping. I gotta tell you, you're gonna just really get a lot out of this conference, out of this DVD set. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. Order the third annual Nephilim Mounds Conference. You're going to learn so much. There was so much that we learned that, well, it's more than mounds. How's that? More than mounds. Joe, this was just a fabulous conference.
Yeah, it was.
So I just want to point that out, and I didn't mean to interrupt your time there, Russ, but I just thought that was a marvelous conference. The amount of information that was imparted by you and others there, phenomenal, and how it relates to what we're seeing today, just amazing. So, folks, if you weren't there, or even if you were there, it's well worth the five DVDs with the Q&A afterwards. And we were fortunate enough to be a part of that, and we thank Russ so much. But shatterthedarkness.net, of course, you'll see the link to that particular DVD series. Joe?
Yeah. Well, with that, we only have a few minutes left, 2 minutes left at the top of the hour break. While we have this short time, Russ, I know that you're going to be a part of the Hear the Watchman conference coming up here in March in Dallas, March 18th through the 20th. What other conferences, if any, do you have lined up here in the near future?
Sure, that's going to be an incredible one. I think there are close to 1,000 that are now going to be joined into that. I'll be also at the Supernatural Crossroads Conference in Indiana, the end of April, right up through Walpurgis Night, by the way. And that's going to be and the folks there want us to focus on the Nephilim issue too. I mean, the Nephilim issue is not going away because it's part of the end times also. And that we, you know, Gary Stearman did a great job going over the biblical Old Testament. And of course, LA goes after the skulls and Chief Riverwind comes in to talk about how all of the Native Indians fought the giant issue. But the Hitler issue and the end of days issue of hybrids and godmen and altered beings, it's not over. So it's going to continue. So that's going to be the one in late April. And then we're going to do, like we just did that one here, 6-hour one, the spiritual warfare one, local, a one day. We're going to do three local ones that are going to be highly involved in just training people. One is on the occult crime aspect. One is on the on prophecy that we're going to do locally. And then one is going to be in September on the healing aspects of SRA, how they get out, how to come out of that darkness, and how to find salvation healing. Now we're talking to the castle, the folks in Edinburgh, England, about a conference in late September.
Interesting.
Wow.
We're getting the hook for the top of the hour. Yeah.
Folks, we're with Russ Dizdar. His website, shatterthedarkness.net. His book, The Black Awakening. His radio show, The Ragged Edge Radio Show, right before our show here on Genesis Radio.
Global Star Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.